stars at night.
How's it going, everybody? Here we are once again at the Positive Herpes Podcast, the show where we spread positivity, knowledge, and passion like herpes. I'm your boy, Nate Cubs, bringing you some knowledge nuggets once again. And I'm going to try to keep it short and simple. So this week, we've got Ronan Souza, once again, my buddy, my good pal. And this week, he's going to be giving us a little bit of knowledge on how to sculpt a well-balanced body. And as he mentions in the show, this isn't saying he's going to make sure, give you a workout regimen so that, you know, you're cut, you're fit, you're yoked. He's going to make sure that you have a healthy body. Now, what you want to do with that body, whether it's, you know, just day-to-day activity, or if you want to go out and lift a bunch of weights and get yoked, then that's up to you, really. But here we are with my buddy Ronan talking about keeping your body balanced.
The title of today's talk is How to Sculpt a Well-Balanced Body. And if you think I'm going to be talking about how to chisel up your little meat body, you're mistaken. Although I will talk a lot about that. But before we get into that, I would like to ask if anyone here has any personal explorations into their own body right now and their workouts, and if they have potentially any painful issues, or if they want to hone in a better craft for a particular modality. I don't know if anyone would like to talk about that.
What do you have to say about it?
What do I have to say about it?
Yeah.
So I want the message to basically be crafted off of the desires of the crowd. Specifically, if you want to know my approach to the body, great, this is good. Okay, so the speaker views the highest form of existence as play. As when one was a three-year-old child and they weren't thinking about anything but just exploring a particular activity and getting lost in it. So as far as chiseling the body and getting into really good shape, as long as the element of play is taking place, then I feel that the growth and the health of the organism will be at its best.
So it has to be fun.
Yeah. Yes. Or it potentially could not be fun, but I don't know how...
How to play and not have fun.
Well, yeah, and how sustainable that is, how long that would last for these creatures that have this brain with its instrument of sensation that loves to be razzle-dazzled all the time, along with the body. I suppose as I look around, I see people that are pretty in tune with their body. Of course, critiques could come out of the mouth as far as maybe someone might be holding on to specific pain on a certain area, or maybe they're holding on to a little extra weight for whatever reason. But I don't think that that's going to be an important exploration here. What I do think is going to be important is asking, how is your relationship with food? Do you partake with food in the sense of I want to use it for fuel and see where I go with it? Or do you indulge in a lot of pleasure with food? Both are completely fine until we stop checking in with the body, of course. Would anyone here like to share a particular struggle they have with food? That would be a great thing to go off of. You know, the struggle where the food seems to run the show with decision making. Anyone have that here? I don't
know. So I experiment with body hacking and biohacking, and whether anyone agrees or not, for me personally, I really love my bulletproof coffee in the morning.
Yes.
But then I try to eat, for me, like a nice lunch. And then I try to have, from Buddhist teachings, I try not to eat after 5 if I can help it.
Mm.
But then I really love ice cream.
Oh.
So I may be like calorically like satisfied and 100% fueled for the evening and the next day. But once in a while, I'll go get some ice cream at nighttime.
Yeah.
Those are my habits.
I appreciate you sharing that habit. I don't know if anyone else here has that struggle, but I grew up in a family where ice cream was free every day.
Oh, yeah.
From a father that worked for a company called Dairy Gold, he had access to free ice cream. So sugar, I'm very glad you brought that up, is a tremendously addictive substance. It's perhaps, could be wrong here, but the biggest drug that we Westerners use. And this is a subject that I would like to go into for a little bit, if that's okay. The detriment of eating sugar in your diet.
What else is there to be said?
What is it? I like this guy. What you are aware then of the dangers of sugar, surely. You look like you're quite fit.
Thank you. I'm interested in the first question I asked you at the very beginning because I have a practice I do for 27 years.
Yes.
And I recently stopped doing it. Just because I thought, well, you know, you get high every day and then you go after a few years of that, well, what's the point? What's straight like, you know?
Yeah.
So I've recently started doing it again.
Yeah.
The last week. It's like, oh, my God. You know?
Yeah.
So I have some very strong opinions about the discipline and the body's taste buds with food.
Yes.
You know, being the Buddhist way and all that. And the addiction of sugar. And seeing, after more than half a century, the detriments of that from people around me that are my same age. That are really, really, really basically fucked because they believe that they can't quit and you can't develop new tastes and that it is a drug, it is an addiction, and it's just that.
Yes.
And if you stop doing that for long enough, your body will crave the new thing. It's the same thing.
Excellent point. I'm glad you brought that up. And this brings up to the importance of play. Again, when you went back to it, did you feel like that little boy that tasted that new excitement, or did it feel like you were...
I just felt better. In general, I was wondering, all these other things were happening, these aches and pains started happening, and I was like,
yeah.
I quit doing this. Out of choice.
Right.
Decision, but I stopped doing it to see what that was about, and I got used to not doing it, and didn't question not doing it anymore. Talk about the discipline exercise.
So discipline, I would like to look at it from this angle, is the listening to your body and not your prefrontal cortex is firing off, trying to command, oh, you got to get on that track.
Nothing to do with the prefrontal cortex.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it can play a little executive part, but as long as that whole nervous system body is delegating as well.
I wanted to ask this gentleman how he felt after the ice cream.
Yeah.
Well, I do it to indulge, but I also have like a scoop,
okay.
So a moderate amount. I'm not like filling my giant, you know, cereal bowl with.
So you feel okay?
Yeah, I feel
you
pretty
don't
fine.
Feel like...
No, I mean, I'm pretty conscious of the fact that I don't need this in my body. I'm doing this purely for pleasure as I'm serving myself the ice cream. So, the eating with my eyes aspect comes into the fact that I'm buying the ice cream. But then I'm moderate once I'm scooping it into my...
So basically you bless it.
Yeah.
Every five.
Yeah, so you're willing to take the aberrance of the chemical along with the temporal benefit, of course, from it. Sugar, processed sugar, depending on what sugar is in your ice cream, is...
The worst kind.
Yeah, it's just... it's full spectrum of poison, by and large. So, yeah, of course, one could temper it with fats, and that's a moderate approach. But there is techno tools you could use to remedy that, and one of the biggest things that...
I put my MCT oil and cacao powder on top.
It's a good way to push things and move and groove.
MCT.
I'll add that to my ice cream.
Do it.
MCT oil. It's an extraction from coconut oil. It's a medium-chain triglyceride that your body seems to dance with better than most other fats. But if you don't want to indulge in ice cream, and we talk about discipline, one of the things that you can do is go on fast. And this is kind of an extremity for some people. Literally food fast, where you do not eat and you just drink water. And as you're doing that, you check in with your body, again, not your prefrontal cortex, and ask body, how are you doing, body? How are you functioning? Are you having fun? Are you enjoying yourself? How is your movement? It's one really quick way to resensitize your palate resensitize your awareness. And we could talk about mindfulness all day here, as you guys have done. And that is intrinsically important, mindfulness in one's diet. But there's very practical things that one can do. Fasting is one of those things. Again, revisit those states of childlike wonder. Your tunable range is incredibly enhanced when you pull away from that redundant cycle of eating. And a lot of times the stomach that's growling is just the stomach that's telling you, hey, it's that time again. It's just a cycle. It's not really hunger, by and large. So that's definitely one way to do it. Also, eating frequent meals is important in an active lifestyle. I particularly like to eat every 2 to 3 hours myself. Very active guy, and it helps me. It helps pull me away from cravings. As I was born in a family that eat a lot of sugar from day one, it took years to pull away from that.
So, what do you eat every 2 or 3 hours?
It's largely comprised of fat. Fat from across the nuts to seeds to animal sometimes, to animal byproduct. I'm not eating cheese right now, just to sort of pull away and see how my body does. Mucus buildup is kind of prevalent in cheese. Grass-fed, free-range animals, there's not as much mucus buildup for me in my body, but I wanted to just kind of give it a break, my system a break, and see how my lymph nodes would function. So right now I'm not eating cheese just for a while. I am an opportunistic eater, and if I have a family member or a friend that has some grass-fed meat that where the animal was given good treatment, I will partake in that, occasionally. But by and large, the eating regime is one filled with an incredible amount of raw food, light cooking occasionally with those that are full with calcium oxalates. The chard and the spinach family, if one eats an incredible amount of raw food in that category, you have to be a little weary with that, as far as what it does to your calcium levels. But you'd have to eat a tremendous amount of it, nonstop for it to be really a big issue for most people. Brassicas raw, broccoli, little weary with that. Some people have reactions to it, especially the stems. Flatulence could occur if you're, not a big fan of flatulence. So to answer your question, the diet is comprised of about 75% raw food, coupled with 25% lightly, ever so delicately processed food, mostly vegetables, a little bit of fruit, mostly low glycemic berries. Occasionally I will indulge on the tropical fruits, although that's my struggle, if you will. I struggle with the banana industry. I do occasionally eat bananas. They're coming from a culture that's kind of questionable in certain areas. But so my splurging...
So you eat politically.
Yeah, there's that kind of aspect to it. But the indulgences that I enjoy are dry figs, things like that. That is definitely my sugar. But I temper it with walnuts or with coconut. It's particularly how this body likes to deal with cravings. Some people might need a little more carbohydrates than others, some more protein and fat. But it's pretty much agreed across the board to make sure that you are eating a lot of greens, a lot of vegetables, of course. It's hard to argue against that. Unless you have access and privy to high quality eggs and animal products. I mean, I'm talking like pristine quality, where here you're not taking the grain feed, right? Because there's water issues with your land, and the cows or whatever meat you're eating are happening to be fattened by some way, which a lot of them are right now. So the animal industry is a little bit difficult right now, especially in the drought in the West Coast. Okay, I'm jumping a little bit, but did I answer your question?
Every possible way.
Excellent.
Can I share something that's really interesting? That, I feel like a lot of women in general, girls, struggle with food and weight issues and body image in general. I feel a couple of years ago, I always had struggle. And I think it's a very, very, very common. Doesn't really matter actually how much you weigh.
Yeah.
But almost I feel like a lot of women and young women also struggle with that. But that's really interesting. I also did a fast. I felt like had no control over what I was eating and how to balance my body.
Yes.
And I was reading so many things, but there are so many differing views. Like, someone tells you to do this, and then the next person tells you to do this, and the next person tells you to do that, and you're like, so what the hell do I do? You know?
Yes.
So I also went for a fast, and that also changed, like a 6.5-day fast, and also, so that changed a lot of stuff as well, and has continued to progress.
Yes.
That's interesting, because what I learned, and what I hope, I still have weight to release and a lot of things to deal with, but I feel like at least I know where I'm going towards and becoming more mindful. But it's interesting because the diet that I have been, or the models that I'm looking at are extremely high fruit, so basically a high raw, high carbohydrate, low fat diet, which is like on the same path as you, but really different. So it's like really high fruit.
Yes.
So like kgs of fruit for a meal, and like the recommendation probably is to eat a lot at once rather than spread it out during the day, because it allows your digestive system to so when you eat, your whole body prepares to eat.
Yes.
So especially when you eat fruit, which is very high weight and lower calorie than a lot of things like rice or whatever, if you take the time to eat it, your body can concentrate its energy on putting in the digestive fluids and having it go kind of at one time.
Yes.
So
you're touching on fruit fast, essentially. Is it by and large fruit that you're eating in your diet?
I still eat like a lot of things. So try to be mostly fruit and vegetables. I still eat rice. I still eat wheat, but like moving towards trying to be high carbohydrate. So mainly fruit and vegetables.
Yes.
High raw kind of diet.
Okay. Yeah. That's
interesting.
Yeah. Fruit, really quickly, has a great demucusing property. If one was eating a lot of dairy and meat, and they want to dislodge certain areas of their body, get the lymph nodes stimulated, fantastic fruit fast. As a sustainable practice, eating large amounts of fruit could be a little bit difficult in raw form with a nice little casing, the fiber casing. It's okay, but also think back to evolutionarily speaking, if hunter-gatherer type tribes, perhaps in famine, one might have really indulged on fruit. But with all other animal species at play, I don't know if one had the ability to constantly.
Well, chimps and gorillas and orangutans.
They indulge.
Well, mainly it's fruit.
Yes.
And then they have some vegetables and maybe some insects.
Yeah, for low protein.
And we're very, very closely related. Occasionally.
Very occasionally meat. They will. Yeah.
In a sense, our digestive systems are very similar.
Yeah.
So what I've been taught is our digestive system is really long, which is mainly in herbivorous animals. Rather than a short digestive system in which you mostly eat meat and process it really quickly, with a very high acidity in your stomach. And our acidity is not really high. Like, I feel like humans ate meat and were hunter-gatherers because it's really high calorically, and it's easier to eat really dense, high-caloric food in the form of meat than to... And we spread out so widely across the world, right?
Yes.
So there are places where you can't get food at all. So of course, to be a species to survive as we have, like we've adapted. But I feel like
I
started to learn is that a body still likes if you are able to like fruit and stuff.
Definitely. Speaking of the human adaptability, and again, it's important to look at the local climate of where you're at. As we have adapted, and this goes hand in hand with the evolution of techno-gadgetry, the quick, sharp tools that we had access to. And that's kind of actually one of the neat things about being human, is that we can, explore with fungi and plants, meat, and all kinds of different other sorts of food sources.
But I must say that the people who subscribe to this diet mostly still live in Southeast Asia, or in Thailand or Bali or where you can get a lot of tropical fruit like all the time.
Yeah. And
so it's different.
And this is very important. If you're in a very humid environment, yeah. you want some good hydrating types of food. And if you do eat a lot of animal fats and things like that, it can dehydrate you, especially like really dense proteins. So that's very important. How are we on time? Really, I'll take your question. How are we on time?
12 minutes.
12. Thank you very much.
Tie it all together, so that everyone's right. Even Ryan and Jordan Bowditch, their motto is fresh, local, organic. They eat by the flow method. So, really, no matter what area of the world you're in, if you're eating fresh and whatever's localized, and obviously organic, like that's going to be the best way to go. So, like in places like Southeast Asia or the tropical rainforest, the fruits are going to be more abundant, so you would eat those because it's the local aspect. But then there's people like the Inuits in Alaska, and they don't have fruits and vegetables because nothing grows there, really. And they actually have like a 90-something percent diet of fat and meat.
Yes.
But that's it works for them because it's their local environment. So, I mean, a lot of it's paying attention to your body. A lot of it's seeing what works for you, but like local is a huge key factor.
Indeed it is, and you're talking about the social and environmental pressures that bear down on the biological and the psychological aspect of a human being. And if one wants flow state, one has to look closely at their environment that they're interacting with. Right now, as much as I enjoy fat, and I do enjoy fat, I eat probably almost 75% some days of fat in my diet. It does have a little bit of a dehydrating effect, and we are in a drought right now. and so I've had to check in with my own body fast, and my body was like, hey, stop eating only two fruits a day. Eat a little bit more fruit, and it's okay to have more tomatoes.
Yeah.
This is where present moment awareness comes in, as we've all touched on in different semantic angles here today. So I think I want to tie this in with, what range of functionality do you want for your body? Are you happy with how you dance? Are you happy with how you touch other people and how they touch you? Do you have pain bodies? Are you eating because of emotional pain bodies? Are you eating because your body is genuinely hungry? And this takes a lot of different things that you can go into to tune that in. And again, fasting is one of my favorite ways, my approaches. I usually do it 4 times a year. It just works out for me with my structure.
What period of time do you fast for quarterly?
1 to 3 days on average.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's goes to the subject of like how my body is and how active I want to be.
Mm.
I have a pretty low body fat percentage, and I really enjoy playing with my body a lot. And usually after 3 days, I start to feel a little bit emaciated. And I could continue to go with it, but it seems like diminishing returns happen for my body.
Mm-hmm.
So, 1 to 3 days typically. But the most important thing is that that the whole nervous system senses when I'm actually hungry. That's one of the main reasons why I fast, because I've had a lot of abuse with sugar in the past, influence from my family.
Mm-hmm.
Once my body feels resensitized and like my nervous system is starting to communicate better with this executive branch here, I stop my fast. And that usually is 1 to 3 days. Water, definitely abundant, in abundance. You could attempt a day of total fasting, but after half a day I've done it, it's just not even, we are 70% water, right? So it's not worth it, I wouldn't say.
What do you feel about the people that have done the fasting, the 21-day fast to live on light, Abhijit?
Ooh, that's a fun subject there.
I'm sorry, I'm distracted.
No, please. I would actually, if anyone knows anyone that does that, you do. Okay, can we somehow get them to come here to speak on that?
They're a couple continents away.
Oh, okay. Okay, if we could somehow
Skype
them in.
Yeah. Because
the jungle.
Oh,
that's
wow.
How they're able to do that.
Yes, the scientist in me, and I used to nerd out a lot about health, and I hesitate to talk too much about nutrient profiles of food. We can be here forever, and it's late. But I haven't seen a really a way that humans can smoothly convert energy from the sun just yet. And I've actually tried to, in my own little silly way, to absorb, I shouldn't say silly, that's kind of degrading, but I've tried to experiment with absorbing nutrients while I fasted with the sun. And my own flesh meat body didn't really seem to generate benefits from it. But
anyone that I've met who has gone through the process is, I don't think, has the level of physical activity that you want in your life. They're very much so,
yeah,
very, very thin, very slight frames.
Yes.
And meditation all day.
Yeah.
So I think with the level of activity that you need, like, you need your body to be activated.
Yeah, that's a very good point. Human adaptability and, like, what you want, the functionality. It would be a great case study, though. I would love to.
I can tell you where they are.
Yeah, I would love to interact.
Just gotta go find them.
Did you have a question?
Well, what would be then an ideal way to start your day? You know, you wake up and you need the energy, and you have a big full day, and lots going on, and your head is kind of still a little drowsy.
Yes.
And I like coffee as well as a really good. I mean, like super fresh roasted, super fresh now. So it's actually, it can be considered a nutrient. Super good.
You're not just saying that from your bias, your preference for coffee.
No, I know that there are people who have other views on it, but there are those who hold that view.
So your question is, what's a good way?
So the question is, how do you really, jumpstart a day, though, with the right nutrition?
Can you walk us through your
day? Is
that
a good question? Do you want to explore that?
Bodies are different, too. I mean, that's another thing, right? Sure. So,
are there some commonalities that we could find to jumpstart our day with food sources?
I think the suggestion was just water, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you.
That's the first thing when I wake up.
Yeah. Like something like a liter.
Yes.
One thing that I learned that a lot of people can do really easily.
Yeah. Definitely. You said you enjoy coffee. Oh, we have. Right. This is good. Yeah, we're getting.
Yeah, I start with water.
You do? Oh, beautiful. Because if you're doing coffee, sometimes.
No, I start with water.
Okay. Do you want to add?
Before we even put things in your body, just a stream of consciousness, gratitude, just kind of get your body prepared for what you're doing.
Yes.
But water, some sort of micronutrients. I know a lot of people like greens powder.
Yes.
And omega-3 fats. Mm. That's just so you can help digest it. That's
you have the basic lemon in the water.
Lemon you could also.
So obviously, eat healthy, take care of yourself, do some exercise. Don't put all these chemicals and these sugars and these greases into your body. And, obviously anyone could have told you that, but it really takes a word warrior, like my buddy Ronan, to really tell you, which kind of chemicals are doing what. And there's even some healthy foods that really aren't that great for you. So just keep that in mind. When you're eating, just be mindful of your food and really start to, see your food as fuel, not just as a way of making yourself feel better. You can definitely do that, but it's so much more than just, a coping mechanism. So if you enjoyed this podcast or any of the other podcasts, be sure to let me know. Go on to facebook.com or Gmail at positiveherpes. So, facebook.com/positiveherpes or email me at Gmail. You can go on to Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, Periscope, at Positive Herpes, for all those handles. And like I said, man, if you really, if you enjoy the show, you want to help me out, you want to keep this sponsor free, head on over to patreon.com. Any kind of contribution was very much appreciated, and it totally helps. So that's patreon.com/positiveherpes. And until next week, it's your boy Nate signing off with that positivity.